for edition listeners of American Exposé. Oh, boy. So much going on, people. So much deception, so much direction to take our freedoms away. It's very, very unfortunate that we have these problems. Very unfortunate that I have these broadcast problems. Very amazing that this is happening. Out of the newspaper today, the 28th of September, Wednesday, they talk about from Knight Ridder News, when Hurricane Katrina struck, New Orleans succumbed to anarchy as marauding hordes of armed thugs hijacked cars, shot at helicopters, and killed police officers, while hundreds of bodies floated in shark-infested waters, or so the stories went. Violent gangs roamed the Superdome, raping little children, while in the convention center, 30 to 40 bodies piled up in a freezer. And according to Knight Ridder News Service listeners, it never happened. Yet over 5 days, starting August 29th, stories of unspeakable horror were reported around the world by broadcast and cable TV and British Broadcasting Corporation, the Associated Press, Reuters, websites, and many newspapers. Quote, the bigger and more diffuse the disaster, the more the gatekeeping function of the media fails in the rush to get the story out, end quote, said Henry W. Fisher III, director of the Center for Disaster Research and Education at Millersville University of Pennsylvania. The French paper, Liberation, ran a detailed report on 1,200 people drowning inside a school on Reed Boulevard. Not true. Evacuees said on the Oprah Winfrey show about dead bodies and gang rapes, the accounts were false. The New Orleans Police Department has no substantial reports of rapes, no victims, and no eyewitnesses. There was a single homicide inside the convention center, and no murders inside the Superdome, according to the Louisiana Health and Human Services Department, which is overseeing the recovery of remains. So here we go, listeners. Where do we go from here with all this? And what is the purpose of the state of national emergency in 40 states to bring us to martial law? It's very, very obvious that this is the direction. The police state well in place. The Pearl Harbor's going on. Also in the paper, they're trying to place blame on different individuals. Just like they place blame on Admiral Kimmel and General Short, General Short in charge of the Army Air Corps, Admiral Kimmel in charge of the naval facilities at Pearl Harbor. They were blamed for Pearl Harbor. And Congress exonerated them in 1998. Congress returned them to rank many years after their death. But they lived a life of misery after Pearl Harbor because they were blamed for it. And yet Washington had knowledge long in advance that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor. Here we go again, listeners. It continues year after year after year. I'm so fed up. I hope you are too. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. Stay with me. We see here in the newspaper today, Police Superintendent Eddie Campos resigned Tuesday after 4 turbulent weeks in which the police force was racked by desertions and disorganization in Hurricane Katrina's aftermath. And it says here, as the city slipped into anarchy during the first few days after Katrina, the 1,700-member police department itself suffered a crisis. Many officers deserted their posts, and some were accused of joining in the looting that broke out. Two officers Compass described as friends committed suicide. What is that all about? In the paper it says, and that's what it says. But keep in mind, January 7th, 2005, listeners, the Congressional Research Service report to Congress. Very, very important, very vital. Keep in mind, we moved to 11-9-20 WWRB on the 3rd of October, UN Habitat Day, 11-9-20. Shortwave, 11-9-20. Congressional Research Service report for Congress. January 7, 2005. Martial law and national emergency listeners. Specialist in American national government, government and finance division, Harold C. Relier. And the summary goes as this, people. Crisis in public order, both real and potential, often evoke comments concerning a resort to martial law. While some ambiguity exists regarding the conditions of a martial law setting, such a prospect, nonetheless, is disturbing to many Americans who cherish their liberties. Expect civilian law enforcement to prevail and support civilian control of military authority. And an overview of the concept of exercise of an authority underlying martial law is provided in this report, which will be updated as events warrant. And this is the point. I've talked about it many times. I have that document somewhere, I believe, still. The roadmap for national security. The roadmap for national security was all about the creation of homeland security. Done on the 31st of January, 2001, all they needed to bring homeland security into place was another Pearl Harbor scenario situation, which we observed on September 11th, 2001. The games being played on the people of the world are tremendous, traumatic, and devastating. Wars, weather modification, weather wars, being manipulated on the people of the world, and now it's come to America in many degrees more than we've expected in the past. And this is the point in the problem, people. We've got to unload and research weather modification. We've even got a section on our website, Enron and weather modification. Try and cover that today. But this report to Congress on the 7th of this year, January 7th of this year, it says occasionally when some national emergency or crisis threatens public order in the United States, the comment is made that the president may ultimately resort to imposing martial law in order to preserve discipline and good behavior. Preserve discipline and good behavior. How do you bring about bad behavior, listeners? Create shortages, water shortage, food shortage, home devastation. Keep in mind, the Global Fire Monitoring Center exists where people are burned out of their property and home. Have been doing this for quite a few years now, where you can never rebuild where you used to live to fit into the sustainable community and the biodiversity map to relocate populations. So ultimately, it will be us living in the cages in our apartments. That Laura Bush said everyone has a right to an apartment. The first week of Katrina, she said this. We'll have our apartments in sustainable communities. We'll be in the cages, and the animals will be looking in at us as the rewilding of America continues. This is the direction that's going on, people. This created crisis that continues on a weekly, daily basis. The scenario to bring us into a totalitarian United Nations system is well underway. Our military being sent to Iraq and Afghanistan. Afghanistan first, as a result of what happened on September 11th, was the excuse to go off so the American people would accept it, so the American people would fly their American flag and have their support, our troops' signs in front of their property. Well, that was for the UN system, people. The coalition is the United Nations military. This is what's happening right now. We chronicled the fact that this engineering of down south with NATO troops now, foreign troops coming to America, was well thought out and designed years ago. The only way the American people will accept this going on, even though it's not publicized as any kind of a partnership on the news, well, you have to have some kind of a disaster to allow the people to accept what's being done right now. The UN operation in America. Always keep in mind, the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the International Monetary Fund. The alternate Secretary of the Treasury of the International Monetary Fund is Alan Greenspan. And I believe it's John Snow who has that position right now. Every country that's a member of the UN is a member of the IMF and has a governor to the IMF. So where are we right now? Are we not in a one-world government right now? We just don't know it. It hasn't been disclosed to us. This continues. This article, or this report to Congress about martial law. Such was the case when it was thought that year 2000 technology problems might result in situations threatening life, property, or the general welfare in American society. The almost flawless transition to the year 2000, of course, rendered such an action unnecessary. More recently, at least one newspaper erroneously reported that the September 14, 2001 declaration of a national emergency by President George W. Bush in response to terrorist attacks in New York City and Washington, D.C., quote, activated some 500 dormant legal provisions, including those allowing him to impose censorship and martial law, end quote. In accordance with the requirements of the National Emergencies Act, the president's declaration actually activated 9 selective provisions of statutory law identified in his proclamation pertaining to military and Coast Guard personnel. We covered yesterday from unattractive.com the positions of the Coast Guard and Homeland Security and the elevated stature of the Coast Guard now that Homeland Security is in place. And yet they're talking about now FEMA not having enough power. Well, give FEMA more power? You've got to be joking. There's many executive orders in place allowing FEMA to take control of everything we have, listeners. Food, transportation, housing, relocation of population. Now, an entire state, or several entire states, have been uprooted, and many people have been relocated. And where are they today? There's the point. There's the problem. The Hegelian dialectic, well in place. Let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Bob in Kansas. Hello, Bob. How are you today?
Let me turn my radio down. I wasn't expecting so soon. How are you?
Oh, I'm not happy. I'm not happy at all. You know,
you need to quit your belly aching, man, and just suck it up and take your chip, eat your genetically modified gruel in your FEMA love camp, and enjoy the snowstorm in July, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's what they got planned.
Yep.
Freaks, man. They're freaks. They're sickos.
Yep.
And, I noticed that I think what's really going on, Chris, is, they're all globalists, and, the system's in place, but now we're going to decide who gets the prize. Is it going to be the Eastern world ruling the New World Order, or is it going to be the Anglo-white Western world?
We always have China to be concerned about.
Well, they're a part of the Eastern world.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm referring to, what you said. We always have them to watch out for, don't we?
I think so. I think they're going to invade this country. Personally, I think they're going to slaughter almost every American in it.
Yeah.
Because we'll be defenseless. There won't be any FEMA love camps, and there won't be any UN gruel. It'll just be, you're dead, pal.
Well,
because they need this land, Chris.
That's what they say. They need the land.
To grow on.
Yeah, that's what they say. And have you seen the map of the world, and have you seen how large China actually is?
Geographically, they're not all that large in their own country.
You look at the Soviet Union or the former Soviet Union, and you look at China, and they take up a whole lot of the world.
Yeah, and you wonder how in the world they could even get a meal going with 1.5 billion people in that little bitty geographical area. It's not all that large geographically for 1.5 billion people.
Well,
it would be for 500 million.
Very hard to determine that at this stage without understanding the way their economy's set up over there.
Can I catch you after the break?
All right, let's continue on the other side. Much going on, people. rumor mill often reported as fact in Katrina's wake. I covered that a little bit. We need to cover that some more. Media frenzy listeners, we continue on the other side. Stay with Congress listeners. It's on the website, AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K, not a C. Martial law and national emergency, dated January 7th, 2005. Very similar to the setup for Homeland Security back in 2001, where you had the roadmap for national security, January 31st, 2001. And all they needed to bring about Homeland Security was to create another Pearl Harbor, which they did. And the controversy still surrounds September 11, 2001, doesn't it, Bob?
That was a kind of a hoax, and the whole world knows that, except the people, a lot of the people in the United States.
Yeah,
everybody knows that was a big hoax.
The people in the United States that do their research understand that this was a setup.
Well, it smelled like it from the get-go.
Yes.
But the thing is, now the whole world knows that we're creating the terrorist attacks, along with the Mossad and British SAS. They caught those guys red-handed.
Mm-hmm.
They know we're doing the terrorist attacks over there, killing hundreds and hundreds of innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't bode well for, that just fuels the fire against America.
You got to keep in mind, we never dropped booby-trapped toys out of helicopters in Afghanistan like the Russians did.
Oh, I don't know.
The Soviets did.
I know they did. They poisoned wells, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But you don't know.
Children, you know.
You don't know that we don't do the same thing, man.
Well.
Right now, I wouldn't put anything past America.
At this stage, it seems that we are allied with Russia in many respects, and it could be true.
Or at least a mirror image. But I think that it's becoming to, it's come to the point the countries, the big dogs of the world, are going to decide who runs it. Like this week, there are joint military exercises between India and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's India, China, Russia together. Ooh, I don't know how we could hold up on that.
And many, many, many of our jobs have been outsourced to India.
Well, a lot of our information, a lot of our key information lies in India, in their computers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a way to surveil a society, huh?
There's much information on this on the website now, the outsourcing of American jobs, thanks to Vicki in Idaho. Done her research, and we've put it up on our website. It's very easy to connect dots today on the Internet, listeners. And, Bob, you know that.
Yes, and another thing that's going on that people haven't probably caught on to, I watched the fearless leader on the TV, and for once, he actually did look worried. He wasn't faking it. He was stuttering his speech. Of course, he's probably drinking again, but he looked like a deer in the headlights. Well, as you well know, we don't manufacture a thing in the United States anymore. I imagine our sperm banks are in Japan by now. And so what's going on here is that we have to borrow money to rebuild all these infrastructure facilities, primarily the petroleum industry. It got hit quite a bit harder than they want to admit to. You can go to the oil publications and find out the true damage of the derricks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the floating oil well rigs, there's a whole bunch of them missing, scuttled, and tipped over. There's a whole bunch of pump jacks ripped up because that thing, before it died out, it hit that real hard.
Mm-hmm.
It hit the oil fields hard. And, of course, Katrina hit them hard, too. And now we've got the refineries who have sustained quite a bit of damage, and the only one would be Valero that said that they might be able to get theirs back on in a month. These are huge refineries, people. And now we don't have all the refineries going in Louisiana. We've got more refineries down from this other one in Louisiana and Texas. We don't make anything here anymore, so which means we got to borrow money, our devalued money, to buy industrial machinery parts, pipeline, gauges, valves, from probably China or some other country. At least a good portion of it has to be imported. That's going to take time. People aren't wanting our money anymore. My God, those other refineries didn't even make a comment when they could go back online.
Right.
That gas shortage thing you were talking about is going to happen right about November.
Yeah, and once again, the design is to get us out of our automobile and to decimate our economy.
Well,
and to bring us down to third world status.
That's a done deal now.
Yeah, there it is.
You know, this thing of being, we should manufacture all these parts right here in America, yet we don't anymore.
No. by design.
I know, it's by design. So I really think that Russia and China are going to be our overlords. I don't think it's going to be Washington and London and New York and Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. I don't think those guys are going to be even a factor when this thing gets rolling, Chris.
Well, England is very strategic with the Rothschilds owning so much of the Federal Reserve System.
Yeah, but what are they going to own if they're vaporized? Not a lot.
How much connection to England and China is there when they had an agreement long ago to turn over Hong Kong to China at a certain date? How allied is England with China? We don't even know.
Well, let's take and consider. Let's just look at China's motives. You know, the Oriental mind, they don't forget revenge from generation to generation.
They're ruthless.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, when they want to get you back, they're going to get you back. And if they have to wait 100 years, they will. Well, let's remember what the British did to China way back when.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remember when China pled for help while millions of their people were being slaughtered by the Japanese. We sat on our butt and did nothing. They haven't forgiven that, believe it or not.
Makes sense.
I'll let you go. It's going to be China and Russia ruling over the rest of the world for a short time. And
you're listening to the...
Back to the broadcast, we should have some interesting intro music into the second hour, very appropriate for situations that we deal with on a daily basis on this broadcast. Support rbnlive.com. The archives are there for free, for a purpose, to increase our numbers. Never in human history has there been a ripe time for increasing our numbers than right this minute, people. Everybody needs to find one more listener that's listening right now. Vital to increase our numbers, to expose the deception that we're living today. They've been doing military operations with other countries. Police state operations have been engineered all through the last decade into this decade. They've been planning on maneuvers and directions to enslave us, to put us in concentration camps. It's Dr. William Pabst sued the federal government in 1976 for the concentration camp program back then. And I have that lawsuit right here. Donald Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense back then under the Gerald Ford administration, listeners. Donald Rumsfeld, a major player in the big game in play. We move to the phones again. We'll go to Sheldon in Tucson. Hello, Sheldon.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, were these FEMA camps on this. I tried to get on Coast to Coast with George Norrie last night because that's the topic I wanted to discuss, and his screener had cut me off 7 times last night.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Sure is. And it's my opinion that they already have these camps opened up and are gradually already sending people to them, based on what McCanny said on your show.
Well, there's no denying the fact that it could be going on right now and could have happened already. No denying the fact.
And that reminds me, James McCanny has a one-hour radio show on every Thursday night. If you have a KU band satellite dish, he's on Telstar 5.
Right.
And that caller that called in your show, I think it was one of the last people in the first hour yesterday, he mentioned UN, a bill number, UN 31-72, from 1976 on a treaty for weather warfare. Did you get the chance to check up on that?
We have that treaty. I have it printed out here.
Is it say UN 31-72?
I have to look at it. I'll have to get to my website and look at it.
That's hard for me, Chris, because I don't have access to the internet at home.
Oh. Well, that is a disadvantage for you, isn't it?
Sure is. One more thing. If somebody wants to go to enterprisemission.com, Richard Hoagland's website. It shows a NEXRAD radar image taken of the New Orleans area 12 days before Katrina hit, and it shows an anomaly on there from the image. It shows these bizarre regular vorticular patterns marching across the image in a span of 18 minutes.
Uh-huh.
If anybody wants to check that out, that's pretty interesting.
Very.
That's all I had, Chris. Thanks.
Okay, Sheldon. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Just amazing how things are being engineered and going on, people. Absolutely amazing. This is a ripe time to increase our numbers right now. There's no doubt in my mind our numbers can be multiplied as we've witnessed what's happened here. No doubt that we can multiply these numbers. Right now is the time. Paul in Florida, welcome to the broadcast, Paul.
Yeah, hi, Chris. I can barely hear you. You dropped in volume just a few seconds ago.
That's because we still have technical problems here, and I'm still doing the broadcast on the telephone.
Yeah, there you go. You're better now.
Okay.
Shortwave is exceptionally good today. You're pinning the S meter down here.
Right.
But anyway, what I wanted to talk about, if I could change the subject just a little bit, last night on Coast to Coast, I forget the guest's name, but he was an expert as far as new technologies was concerned. Now, here's a good one. He has apparently a Nissan Altima, and what he does is he adds 2.5 ounces of acetone to 10 gallons of high-test gasoline. This, he said, improved his gas mileage by 20 to 25%.
Really?
Yes. Now, the thing is, it has to be high-test gasoline,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be a fuel-injected engine. Now, he had 210,000 miles on this engine, and he pulled the thing apart. He had to do something with the exhaust manifold. And when he pulled the exhaust manifold off, you usually see it with that amount of miles on it, caked with carbon. This was perfectly white inside, and it looked like it had been sandblasted. And I believe he had occasion to examine the exhaust valve, and you know you get carbon buildup over a period of time. The exhaust valves were perfectly shiny.
Hmm.
Looked like they had just been cleaned. Now, I don't think you could do this with a carburetor because the acetone is able to dissolve the plastic float inside. But he said that his car was rated for about 25 miles per gallon on the highway, and he got about 35, I think he said. And all you do is add 2.5 ounces of acetone to 10 gallons of gas. Now, with a diesel, you can do it with a diesel, but you have to cut that down. A diesel ratio is 1.5 ounces of acetone to 10 gallons of diesel fuel. And also in the Nissan that he had, he said he used synthetic oil in it. It wasn't the regular stuff. I don't want to plug a company, but he said it was Mobile One that he used, and he changed the oil and filter every 3,000 miles instead of the 15,000, which can be a little expensive. That stuff runs a little high.
Yeah.
But I just thought I'd mention it. Now, if you go to Coast to Coast website, you could probably get this guy's website off of the new shows. I think he keeps them up for about a week. And they go to last night's show, and they can get on this guy's website. He just established a website, so it's all brand new, and you could probably get the information on there. But, you know, for what it's worth, I know you'd pay a little bit more for the high-test gas, but if you're getting 20 to 25% increase in gas mileage and you're keeping your engine cleaner, I think it might be worth it. I don't even have a car. I don't drive.
Uh-huh.
But acetone is cheap. You could probably pick it up at any kind of automotive supply store, maybe even a hardware store. I guess it's used as a cleaning agent, and it's used to soften fiberglass to make it easier to apply.
Yeah, you have to use acetone when you work with fiberglass, having experience with that, absolutely. And it's a great cleaner.
Yeah, I just thought I'd you find some other interesting things on this website reference to carburetor construction. That's as far as I want to go with it on the air.
Well, it's all very, very interesting, and certainly the design is to get us out of our cars. And this is under Agenda 21.
An
automobile is not sustainable in their eyes.
Oh, sure. And you know, I can see Americans, you know, I can see it from one point of view, that Americans in the, since the 60s, you know, when they brought out the muscle cars, they were a lot of fun, but they were so wasteful, and it was lead in the gas, and people never gave a thought as to what this would do to the environment. I can remember a friend of mine back in 64, he had a Chevy Impala with a big 409 in it, and that thing, you could have launched a satellite with that thing. That thing was incredible. It had 2 4-barrel carburetors on it. We used to get 5 miles to the gallon with it around the city.
Uh-huh.
We used to have to put, he had the ignition so far advanced in that thing that we used to have to go to the airport and buy aviation fuel in it and put half a tank of SO Extra in it or Sunoco 260 and half aviation fuel. I mean, it was real, it was fun, but it, you know, when you think back, it was such a waste. You know, it really was.
Well, it, you know, you think about the plentifulness of oil, which is a renewable resource according to many sources.
Yeah, it is.
And then you bring about these thoughts of how gas has skyrocketed over the years and we're being maneuvered into losing our freedom with the automobile.
Oh, sure. One of the greatest freedoms we ever had in this country, when you think about it, is freedom of mobility.
Yeah.
When you go to third world nations or even communist nations, people rely on public transportation. But this is, you know, the Western industrialized free market economies. Just about everybody had a car, and you could come and go as you pleased. Well, it looks to me like that's going to come to a screeching halt, or at least be greatly mitigated, you know, in the near future. But anyway, I just wanted to run that by you, and any of your listeners out there have a second car that's fuel-injected that they really don't care that much about, if they want to try the acetone trick, you know, go ahead.
Good luck for them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, Chris, that's all I got for now.
Okay, Paul, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
All right, my privilege. Before we move further, I want to... I'm not sure whether I did it on this broadcast or not, but I want it heard again because it's very, very relevant. And I asked this gentleman from Australia, Brent, regarding what it's like to be living in Australia today. And he said, I heard your question, and regarding the answer to your question, in Queensland, it is illegal to own handcuffs, bows and arrows, cannot be bought without a license, slingshots are illegal, and it is illegal to own a flak jacket. Only sporting shooters in clubs and farmers can own firearms. In other words, I cannot go out and buy a gun. Australia is almost effectively disarmed. The disarmament of Australia started in earnest in 1996 after the Port Arthur massacre in Tasmania, where 35 tourists were ruthlessly gunned down in broad daylight. Most of them at close range in a cafe. A mentally deranged fellow called Martin Bryant was charged with the murders, but never received a proper trial. The federal government, led by close Bush ally John Howard, refused to hold a royal commission into Australia's biggest mass murder, supposedly because it would disturb the victims. Investigations by a retired Victorian police sergeant, Andrew McLeod, indicate that the shooting was a black ops psyop operation. The shooting coincided with a major emergency services exercise in nearby Hobart that very weekend. Media were kept several kilometers from the site. And isn't that relevant to what we witnessed with Waco back in 93? Agenda 21 is highly advanced in Australia also. Farmers across Australia are being pushed off their land by green departments using legal bullying. So this is the worldwide setup that we're under. We have the UN system well entrenched, well in place. We have the U.S. report to the UN Counterterrorism Committee. And this is December 19, 2001. And it says, in here, full implementation of Resolution 1373, and this comes from the State Department. They have the U.S. mission to the United Nations. Full implementation of Resolution 1373 will require each U.N. member state to take specific measures to combat terrorism. Most states will have to make changes in their laws, regulations, and practices. Those with the capacity to assist in these changes will be needed to help those who lack the expertise and resources to achieve full implementation. What are they talking about there? A totalitarian police state being engineered by the State Department and the U.S. mission to the United Nations and the U.N. system. Let's move to the phones again. We'll go to Walt in Michigan. Hello, Walt. How are you today?
Yeah, hello, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Has there been any updates on activities of foreign military in Louisiana or Texas? Has anybody talked about or called or any information concerning the door-to-door confiscation of firearms?
I have not seen any information on that yet lately.
There's a blackout on the news media about their activities.
Yes.
And George, you know, James McKerney said that there was a large naval force off the coast of Texas waiting to invade. And
yes,
has any, you haven't heard anything at all, and has any of your callers that are online right now or listening, has anybody heard in Texas or in Louisiana any activity of foreign military door-to-door, any more confiscation? Would please call in and let you know, and maybe we can get the recordings off the net tonight.
That would be logical if anybody has any information about that. Confirmable.
I'm in the mobile now. I can't listen up to what you're saying other than right now. But the folks in this country better get ready to stand because we're on the way down, man. And I've known about this since 1980.
Uh-huh.
That long. I've known that they were going to do this.
I understand. I am in full agreement with you. It's by design, and
sure is.
It's got to be directed, and it's got to be implemented, and now's the time. And that's why this is a perfect opportunity to increase our numbers to make the statement, because apparently there's 80 million of us in America that are armed and well-armed.
Well, they know that, so they're treading real lightly and keeping their activities kind of closely guarded, you know. The British kind of learned that a couple times about us, didn't they?
Right.
Okay, we'll talk to you.
Thank you, Walt.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. The engineering is under the guise of Agenda 21 for this devastated region of the country. Yes, I use that word, regionalism, with caution. Keep in mind, our Agenda 21 section has been remodeled, and it's very, very important that you understand how this works now. We go directly, when you go to the Agenda 21 section, you go directly to regional governance. Undermining state sovereignty and control is essential to the implementation of Agenda 21, and you can learn how regional governance essentially eliminates state borders and bypasses elected officials in favor of unelected bureaucrats. That's number one on the new revamping of Agenda 21 in AmericanExpose.com. Then you go to the general guide to Agenda 21, which is an excellent background to the entire program of it, and it's for beginners and the advanced researcher. It's vital information and highly organized into a neat table of contents, and this comes from the Anti-Communitarian League. This is the basis for people to getting on board in understanding the all-encompassing purposes of Agenda 21. And then we move to the Advanced Agenda 21 Researchers page, which is the original setup that we had on our website. So I encourage you to go there, encourage you to learn and reprint excerpts from it and pass them on to those that should be very, very concerned at this point in time. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. This is American Exposé. Stay with us.
Country, for the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few.
That is Poker Face. Pokerface.com is their website, listeners. It was was a wonderful time that we had a few weeks ago. Paul at Poker Face, Dennis, and your phone calls. That was very interesting a few weeks ago. Very vital to support this network. Very vital to support Republic Trading Post. Very, very important, listeners, to connect all these dots to keep this network running and rolling. We moved to 11920 WWRB on the 3rd of October, which is UN World Habitat Day. That may not mean much to you, but when you do your research into the UN system, that's at the 60th anniversary on October 24th, you will see how we are tied into it and tangled into it in every degree and facet of country of our country today. For you on shortwave listening, you've got to hear this by Daniel Sitars, who's an environmental activist attorney. He said Agenda 21 proposes an array of actions. That's Agenda 21 proposes an array of actions which are intended to be implemented by every person on Earth. Effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all human society. Did you hear that? Effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all human society. Unlike anything the world has ever experienced, a major shift in the priorities of both governments and individuals, and an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources. This is the plan for the 21st century, Agenda 21. We're 5 years into it. What have we experienced in these 5 years, listeners? We've experienced a major Pearl Harbor on September 11, 2001. We've experienced a major disaster, a weather disaster, to bring us to our knees in many respects, to the point where now we have 40 states in a declared state of national emergency. And yes, it goes way back to 1933, the state of emergency, and what I'm trying to do now is to generate a response from everyone in our country to understand the scenarios that are being put at us as we have our sons and daughters, fathers and mothers in another Vietnam and Iraq where you do not know who your enemy is. We have allowed the Communist Party of Iraq to flourish. Agenda 21 in Iraq was there with Saddam Hussein. Nothing was being implemented in Agenda 21 by Saddam Hussein. And now it's in full operation. The sustainable communities, the directions, and keep in mind, Laura Bush stated the first week of this disaster in Katrina in Louisiana, everyone has a right to their apartment. And that's what sustainable communities are going to be, apartments. No land ownership. No land ownership means no pride in your ownership of your property, because you won't have any. And right now, yes, we really don't own it now too. And so you don't have to call and tell us that. We already know that. You don't pay your income taxes, you lose your property. You lose all your equity in your property. You don't even get compensated for your property if you cannot pay your property taxes. And we know the IRS is a fraud. We know the IRS are the revenues for the IMF of the United Nations. So connecting all these dots are very, very easy today with the websites. We've got to use the computer today because the computer was designed to control us all. Now we use the computer to expose what's being done to us in the world, the human race, listeners. We'll be back for the second hour of the broadcast of American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. Stay with us. Called American Exposé. I want to alert you that there's many changes to the website that was going on last night between Dennis and Darren and myself. We spent a good 3 hours together on the phone last night, and we've put up this report, this congressional testimony of Robert Mueller III, director of the FBI, before the Senate Committee on Intelligence of the United States Senate, dated February 16th of 2005, listeners. This is on the website now. This is there for you to read and download and print out and send to everyone, whoever they may be, members of organizations, members of the John Birch Society. They need to see this report. It's a 32-page report, and it's regarding the terrorism that's been going on. And he says here, I would also like to thank the men and women of the FBI for continuing to embrace our changing mission. There you are. Embrace our changing mission. See, there's no definition of terrorism. There's no definition of terrorism, listeners. This is the point. Our changing mission. For working to enhance our intelligence capabilities. Keep in mind Chapter 40 of Agenda 21. Information for decision-making, listeners. For adapting to new technologies and new ways of doing things, and for doing all of this without ever pausing in our forward push to protect this country from active threats. Mr. Chairman, over the past year, through unprecedented cooperation, enhanced intelligence capabilities, and continued unwavering commitment to protect the American people, we have achieved considerable victories against national security and criminal threats facing the U.S. However, I must also report that these threats continue to evolve and to pose new challenges to the FBI and our partners. Now, this is an excerpt from page 1 and page 2. And once again, I go to page 10. Many of you have heard this. But once again, this is on the website, AmericanExpose.com. Now, you can find it. You can see it. You can see for yourself what Robert Mueller stated on February 16th of this year. However, the right-wing patriot movement, consisting of militias, common law courts, tax protesters, and other anti-government extremists, remains a continuing threat in America today. Sporadic incidents resulting in direct clashes with law enforcement are possible and will most likely involve state and local law enforcement personnel, such as highway patrol officers and sheriff's deputies. And what are they? They're melded into the MJTF. Multi-jurisdictional task force today. So I want to just make it perfectly clear here that this information, the fact that we're terrorists, I'm a terrorist, according to the FBI report, which I don't appreciate. And none of us should appreciate this. This is my point. The increase of our numbers, they're never going to stand for 80 million people getting upset. And this is what needs to be done at this point in time. Nonviolent, but the increase of knowledge and numbers of people. It can make a difference, listeners. I've lived it all my life. I've been watching all this all my life. And I see right now is a perfect opportunity with the created weather storm that just happened. We'll be back to continue. Stay with us. Listeners, we've entered into the Twilight Zone. We have entered into it. This is the Twilight Zone we're living today. With our sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, off to another war for the UN system. The coalition is the UN system, people. Don't forget that. Do your research. Prove it to yourself. The UN is ready to take over in Iraq. It's on our website. The UN is working in Iraq. The IMF is working in Iraq. The International Monetary Fund. And then we have this created crisis, just like the tsunami at the end of the year. Now we have America's tsunami over here. The financial devastation of our country, the relocation, the first time in America a major relocation of population has happened. And where do they all go? And isn't this the impetus to get everyone microchipped in the future so we don't lose who or where they went? We don't lose that. Listeners, this is a major opportunity right now to increase numbers. And that congressional testimony by Robert Mueller is on our website. It's very, very vital that you connect that dot to others. Increase our numbers. Everyone listening needs to find one more listener by the end of the month. This month, I'm saying. And then they have to find one new listener next month. And then it goes. We have an opportunity. Let's go back to the telephones. Let's take DJ in Florida, and welcome to the show, DJ.
Yeah, it's 1984 plus 24 in it.
That's it.
Hey, look it. I've called John up, and I've called Alex up, and so forth and so on, and I make a suggestion. We have to run for public office in order to change this daggone thing.
And local is very, very vital.
Absolutely. Dog catcher for election board. You know, all you have to do if you're going to run for the election board is say, I want to go back to paper ballots.
There you go.
You know, and you'll get, I don't know how many, 100 people voting for you. And I think that, you know, the Constitution Party is active all over the whole United States. And just take this down. Veto IRS. That's how to contact the Constitution Party wherever you live. We're going to have a Constitutional Party meeting in Ocala next month, and the date is the 22nd on a Saturday, and it's at the public library in Ocala. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to get candidates to run for public office. I'm thinking about running myself.
No, okay, let's have this again. VetoIRS.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is Ocala in Florida?
Yeah, Ocala in Florida, right. And it's at the public library at 2720 East Silver Springs Boulevard. And it's at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And anybody that is listening to me in Florida, please attend, because we're going to try and get you to run for public office. Because we have the knowledge. We've been listening to you. We've been listening to Alex. We've been listening to John Stadtmiller and whoever, I can't remember right now, but I got my shortwave radio on as soon as I get up. Joyce Riley and so forth. And we're informed. And I've been practicing. I've been reading the Federalist Papers. If you want to know about the Constitution, read the Federalist Papers by Jay Madison and Hamilton. That explains the Constitution to the 13 states, and you can't get a better Bible than that. Read the Constitution yourself, the Declaration of Independence, and when I quote from the Federalist Papers from Jay, people listen to me and they say, I didn't know that. So we're informed. So the only alternative we have now is either the gun or run for public office.
Now, very good statement. Now, keep in mind, listeners, the Federalist Papers can be found on our website under a partner website, and that would be the Constitutional Guardians. The ConstitutionalGuardian.com is the website. That's ConstitutionalGuardian.com. You can read and learn about the Federalist Papers right there, right now. And thanks for that thought, DJ.
Yeah, and the Constitution Party is on shortwave after Steve Quayle. That's on 7465. And Eastern Standard Time, it comes on at 8 o'clock. I mean, 9 o'clock.
You have good people in place with the Constitution Party, do
absolutely,
you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, this is our Bible. And if you don't believe in a Constitution, what do you believe in?
Well, we don't even know what it's like to have lived under a constitutional republic.
Oh, yes, well, we've been living under it for a while, and we know what is in the Federalist Papers, you know?
Right.
And that explains the Constitution to us. You know, you know that the Constitution states, I think it's the sixth article, that every treaty becomes part of our Constitution. Now, the United Nations is a treaty,
right.
NAFTA is a treaty, GATT is a treaty, NAFTA is a treaty,
yeah.
And all these treaties, and this is what's changing our situation through Agenda 21.
Yes.
And our laws are changing statewide, countywide, citywide, and nationwide.
Absolutely.
And if you have that ammunition, you know, look up J64, and it tells you all about the treaties. And once you read this and you quote it to somebody, man, it's dynamite.
And that's the impetus to make a difference and a change.
Well, you know, we just can't sit back and let this stuff happen all the time. We got to do something. And the only thing that I can see is run for office.
Absolutely.
And every one of you out there are qualified. Right now, you know, get prepared for the next election, which is next year. That's about, what, 1,000 days off or something like that, I heard?
And keep in mind, you've got to start local. Don't go out and think you're going to run for president.
Oh, no. Well, they're going to run somebody for president in 86. But listen to what the
96,
Constitution...
2006.
Yeah, 2006.
Right.
But listen to what the program that these people are talking about. I haven't got it all in my mind how it's going to work, but it's something like Dean. You know, he did everything off the Internet. And he got more money than the Republicans and the Democrats combined.
Mm. Who was Dean?
The guy that ran for president. You know, yee-hoo-how! You know that guy? Hey, get some Stan Kenton music on there sometime.
What would that be?
Stan Kenton? No, that's before your time, man.
Huh? Yeah, you have to
That's really jazz.
Send me the send me a clip of it if you can send it over the internet, can you?
What's that?
That music you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, well...
You can send it as a file, can you?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. When I was a kid, and, it was really popular, you know, Benny Goodman and all those.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
In that era.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm 76 years old, man, and I'm on fire.
Well, you're lucky to be that old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, hey, I've had a good life, you know.
I'm sure glad you're not 17, aren't you?
Well, I'd still be fighting, you know.
Well, if you weren't brainwashed all through the years up to your age 17, you might not be fighting.
Well, I
look
had
at the control of the schools that they are today.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Anyway.
But, hey, you know, you people got to run for every office, really. You know, our commissioners, they make $60,000 a year. $60,000. Wouldn't you love to have that? And Congress, they make what? 160,000 themselves?
Well, we've got to bypass and we've got to expose the fact that unelected representatives are being put into place where elected officials in place.
You know, if you run for public office, you're going to be invited on a radio, right? And if you're spieling the same thing that you're talking about, you're going to get some people.
Well, working together this way is a very positive direction, and I appreciate your thoughts.
Well, it's an answer, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It may not be the right one, but it's an answer for me.
There you go.
Okay, Chris.
Thank you, DJ.
Yeah, bye-bye.
The Constitution Party, it's been around. Has it been infiltrated in the past? Oh, and shoot, we should have had a phone number to connect that dot. Anyway, the website is vetoirs.com. Vetoirs.com. And every avenue, any possible opportunity to make a difference has to happen now. There's just no other way around it. To support the network, you have the sponsors, you have the Berkey Light, you have this opportunity to make a difference there, and everybody needs a Berkey Light and filters. And that new number is 877-605-9200, 877-605-9200, and you get a free sports bottle with it. $259 is the cost. With the control of water being engineered, listeners, the control of water is being engineered. It's very easy to see this. I had a report from Unattractive that I had yesterday that I wasn't able to cover, and I'll try and get to it today. You can't have enough filters. You can't have enough Berkeys. We have to collectively work together and prepare for unwanted situations, unwarranted situations, but engineered directions that are going to come. Because the engineering has happened already in many respects. And that's why the website right now is so vital, AmericanExpose.com. Dennis and Darren do it. They do a lot of work on it. It's documentable directions, sourced information. And the Agenda 21 section has been redesigned to make it more learner-friendly, put it that way, to those that have never experienced and understood what Agenda 21 means. So let's go back to the phones, and we'll take Bill in St. Louis now. Hello, Bill.
How you doing there, Chris?
I'm fine. I'll have to hold you over after the commercial pause. What's your thought?
Well, you know, I'm very concerned about what you've been talking about here, this guy that did the testimony.
Robert Mueller, stay with us. We'll be right back to continue with Bill.
Okay.
If you want to get involved, 800-313-9443. Stay with us. Okay, we're back with the broadcast, and certainly things are ominous. Things are, in many respects, can be very, very frightening to those that aren't understanding what's going on today. And let's go back to Bill in St. Louis. Okay, Bill, where are we going with your thoughts here?
Well, this is no less than a declaration of war against the Patriot movement.
and the people of the country, because we're standing up for our country.
Oh, yes.
We're standing up for our freedom and a constitutional republic that we've never lived under.
Right. I mean, can I read you something here?
Sure.
Whenever any form of government becomes destructive, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government. And it goes on, and it says here, mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms of government to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. That is from the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Now, you know, it's my view, you know, personally, my view that we're getting way too late in the game to affect any changes here.
I understand.
I mean, I've been listening to this since 1991, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and the American people just go along with it and accept it. And
well, think about the Cuban Missile Crisis or the Bay of Pigs. Think about that time when the people of Cuba wanted to take back their country away from Castro, who was an admitted communist once he was in place.
Mm-hmm.
And our CIA would not let it happen, would not give the air support to those freedom fighters to take back their country.
Right.
And that's when I started waking up. Oh. So I've lived a lot of years trying to expose this, and all my years of desert racing, driving hours into the desert with people next to me in my vehicle and in their vehicle with me driving with them, I was constantly practicing being a talk show host. I didn't know it at the time. But you know, I've been talking this for years.
Well, you know, God bless you for what you're doing, you know. But again, this is just my opinion now.
Oh yeah.
I know you're talking about each listener out there bringing in at least one new listener. And you're right, that would increase the number of people who are waking up to what's going on.
Now, Bill, here's something people are going to do. Tim's done it. Others have done it. You can print out business cards. You can put the proper websites and the directions how people can hear the proper talk show host that you want to promote.
Right.
And pass them out.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. In fact, I printed up some on my computer here.
Good.
And I hand them out. But, you know, people look at you like you're totally out of your mind, or else you're some kind of a communist, anti-American, lunatic or something. But my point is...
And isn't that amazing when you have so many products made in slave labor, communist China on our shelves that they just readily buy at a reduced rate?
Exactly.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, but the thing is that we're trying to increase listenership to educate people. But my point is to do what? I mean, you know. What are people supposed to do besides covering their own butts? I mean, water filters and food supplies and guns in your house isn't going to stop this thing.
No, I understand your frustration, and I understand where you're going, but
it's like this, educating people doesn't seem to be working, in my opinion.
And well, we don't know that really at this point, because there's a lot of anger out there. There's
right.
a lot of frustration.
Right.
And if it can be channeled in a proper direction, and what is that direction? That's
right.
The question we need to all ask ourselves. The situation of exposing weather modification, having been more than likely done to create this, because if you can steer them, you can steer them away from harm's way.
Yeah.
So the fact that it was steered into this direction and causing all this havoc, a sheer large numbers of people waking up to this
right.
can make a difference. Where is it going to go ultimately?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know, what we need to do is to start to organize
You know, we need to form armed citizen militias in every state in order to have some kind of a force that we can mobilize to fight and defend ourselves against FEMA and the Blackwater goons and NATO troops and even our own military.
Our own military and the militaries of all these other countries have to realize what they're a part of. And the people that monitor these shows in the NSA have to realize what they're a part of, getting their paychecks to surveil the population, to put them on a list to be taken out an eventual direction.
Right.
That is very, very important. People on the inside are listening to this.
Right.
If they realize that they're going to be part of the cannon fodder as well, don't we have an opportunity, Bill?
Well, if these people come up against armed citizens that are fighting to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and they're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to wage war against my own people?
Well, that's why the foreign troops are here. Thank you, Bill, for your comments, my friend.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
If you want to get the perspective of where we are today with this Agenda 21, go to unattractive.com. It's on our website, one of the partner sites, Unattractive. You will see the conglomeration of directions that are very, very ominous. You have the Army of Partnerships. You have the Federal Network for Sustainability. You have the Environment Management System Library.
Yes, thank you for your time.
Yes, sir.
What I'd like your audience to know is that there is very little time left. Somebody told me many years ago about what was going to happen, and I said, well, how do we know when this new world order is going to take over? And he said, one of the last things that's going to happen is that they're going to claim that the most superior body armor that was ever made, which is the armor that the president and the vice president and the Congress and stuff wear, are inferior. And so this has happened. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yes, please check the newspaper. They're claiming all the body armor that the president and his wife and the congressmen and the Secret Service are wearing is no good. It's junk. It doesn't work.
I did not know that.
Yes, please trust me and check your newspaper. It is true.
Okay.
Okay, what's going to happen is they're suing Japan now because the Xylon material isn't up to snuff and whatnot, but that's all BS. The body armor is fine. What's going to happen is this will give the top brass an excuse to buy new body armor. But the old body armor isn't going to be sent back to Japan. It's going to be saved. These guys are going underground. There is no time to run for office and stuff like that. There's very little time left. I know nobody believes the things that you're expounding on your radio show, or very few people believe it, but I'm going to tell everybody out there how to prove how big this thing is and that what we're saying on this radio show is the truth. If anybody or your listeners out there smoke cigarettes, okay, if there's any cigarette smokers out there, I smoke Marlboro, the best cigarette ever made, okay? You open up any of your cigarettes and look and see what's inside your cigarettes. They have ground up worms, mealworms, inside the cigarettes. This is unbelievable. Even if you don't smoke cigarettes, go out and buy a pack of cigarettes, a premium pack, or the only thing I can't find the worms in, and this is what the guy told me years ago. He says, you're going to have to stop smoking. They're going to make everybody sick. And all my friends that smoke and myself, and I proved it to my friends, all you got to do is break open your cigarette and just go through. We know what tobacco looks like, okay? There's little white chips of ground-up mealworms and wings and everything in our cigarettes. I know you don't believe me.
Well, it's okay. It's okay. The point is, they're doing everything they can to reduce the population however they can.
Nobody believes us. Nobody believes us, but there's a lot of men and women out there that smoke cigarettes. You can find out how big this thing is by just taking one or two of your cigarettes. Open one cigarette. I don't care, just one cigarette, and look at your tobacco inside that rolled cigarette. And you're going to say, what's this little, it's not the same color as the tobacco. It's not tobacco. It's got this white chip in it, or you'll find a wing. You can almost see through the wings. And then you go to the next cigarette, and you can go through your whole pack. Now, if you want to smoke a real good cigarette, go take them little white chips out and take your cigarette tobacco, move it off to the side and roll it up and with a rolling machine and a paper, and you'll smoke a real sweet cigarette like they were years ago. But they're not that way anymore. They're doing everything they can to make us sick. And this is the only thing that I can tell people to prove how big this thing is and that we're not crazy.
I appreciate your thoughts, Stephen.
God bless you. And
thank you. Thank you for your call. Yeah. It's on our website. The initiative for the 92 Echo Earth Charter is there.
Mock.
Army Regulation 210-35, Civilian Inmate Labor Program. And then 2 days later, the testimony of Robert Mueller of the FBI to the Senate Committee on Intelligence of the United States Senate, where he states, the right-wing patriot movement consisting of militias, common law courts, tax protesters, and other anti-government extremists remains a continuing threat in America today. Come on. Obviously, you can see the engineering of all this going on right now. It's on the website, AmericanExpose.com. It's there for you. American spelled with a K as a statement, because that's where we are. BL in Texas, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
A lot of good points today. I want you to know I support what you're doing, what John's doing, what everybody in the Patriot Movement is doing, and there's been a lot of good points made by the callers today.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point out, when American troops are used in this country as police, that's not only unlawful and unconstitutional, that's treason.
Yes.
But when foreign troops are brought to the United States of America and used as police, well, that's tyranny, and it's just right out front. It's there for everyone to see, as long as they're not walking around in a coma like so many people are. I think it's probably too late to go run for office, but everybody should do whatever they feel qualified and motivated to do. They should do everything.
That's a correct statement.
Do.
That's a correct statement. Everyone should do whatever they think they are motivated to do. Continue.
Well, there's going to be everybody should do whatever they feel like they are qualified and motivated to do. They should do everything they can, because time is short. It's out in the open now. It's no longer rumors of conspiracy. Here it is. So I don't know what else to say, but I'm not going to join a militia because I'm already in the militia. I'm automatically a part of the unorganized militia. All the militias I've ever had experience with were totally infiltrated by federal agents.
Yes.
Or their cohorts. And just do whatever you can with people you trust. Form your own little group. Don't publicize it. Do everything you can every day. Do something every day, if you can, to try to wake people up, whether it's giving away pocket constitutions or Alex Jones videos or booklets or just sitting people down that will listen and talking to them. Everybody's got to do whatever they can. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thank you for your call. And this is very, very important. He makes a good statement. And, you know, I have no gripes with anyone. I don't dislike anyone. I can't think of anyone I dislike. I'm just understanding that there's personalities that have conflicts. There's people that have conflicts. Keep in mind, anyone from the age of 17 to 45 is a member of the unorganized militia. It's in the U.S. Code. We'll try and get that for you this week. Keep in mind, we're moving to 11920 shortwave, 11920 WWRB. That's very, very important. We don't want to lose the numbers. Let's go to Jeff in New Mexico. Hello, Jeff.
Hi. Yeah, would you be in favor of the right to shoot firearms or crossbows even in your own rented city yard? And this wouldn't be in county. It'd be in the city limits, even New York City. At trespassing dogs, cats, or other domestic or wild animals, except when the path of the bullet would endanger other people?
To defend yourself, certainly.
Because it's equal protection under the law. I think that they're not letting people in the city limits use guns against, like, dogs, people letting their dog run across your yard or defecate in your yard and stuff.
Well, you know, it can get out of hand. And keep in mind, we have a lot of people in this country doing drugs and alcohol. And they aren't using their heads when they have a gun in their hands. Mm-hmm. And they act irresponsible with the gun in their hands. And that gives the impetus for gun control when people under the influence of drugs and alcohol do stupid things. And there's many of them out there. Also understand that many of our jobs have disappeared in this country, where so many of our males are idle today. They have nothing to do. And then they have to create jobs for themselves. You can see how the Hegelian dialectic has been well engineered over the decades. And so, yes, we have these problems, and we have people that are irresponsible, that do stupid things, and that is not doing our country any benefit at all.
Well, I think another thing that might help is you could use taxpayer dollar paid radio, TV, and billboard ads saying, sure, you as a felon have a right to own a gun, but at the same time warning those people to not do mass shootings and armed robberies, etc.
It's a sad scenario that we live today. It's a sad creation that's been done to us. You have many foreigners that own restaurants today. You have many foreigners that own liquor stores today. Many of them receive grants from the State Department to have their establishments. It's the UN system being engineered at us and on us. The border problem that is being engineered, where one of those chapters of Agenda 21 allows indigenous people to have prominence in countries where they came from originally. And so here we have this direction with the border problem, where people are fighting each other at the border. They don't realize this comes from the UN system and the State Department, the U.S. mission to the United Nations. You've got to get to the control and understand what the control is doing and expose it, not just me, but everyone. Thank you for your call, Jeff. We'll wrap it up, listeners, as we close out the broadcast today. Stay with us. And welcome back to the broadcast. As we wrap it up today, I encourage you to go to unattractive.com and search out the International Maritime Organization, which is the United Nations specialized agency responsible for improving maritime safety and preventing pollution from ships. They are also committed to technical cooperation. The International Maritime Organization, listeners, it's there for you to research. Most of you have never seen it before, including, unfortunately, myself, I'm sorry to say. Jesse Helms stated on January 20th, 2000, he was the chairman of the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations before the United Nations Security Council. He stated, last year the American people contributed a total of more than $1.4 billion to the U.N. system in assessments and voluntary contributions. That's pretty generous, but it's only the tip of the iceberg. The American taxpayers also spent an additional $8,779,000,000 from the United States military budget to support various UN resolutions and peacekeeping operations around the world. Let me repeat that figure, $8,779,000,000. That means that last year, 1999 alone, the American people have furnished precisely $10,179,000,000 to support the work of the United Nations. No other nation on earth comes even close to matching that singular investment. And what do we have at the top of the Security Council? Russia and China. And what did Dmitry Malyinsky state in his speech in 1931 before the Lenin School of Political Warfare? War to the hilt between communism and capitalism is inevitable. Today, of course, we are not strong enough to attack. Our time will come in 20 or 30 years. The bourgeoisie will have to be put to sleep. So we shall begin by launching the most spectacular peace movement on record. There will be electrifying overtures and unheard of concessions. The capitalist countries, stupid and decadent, will rejoice to cooperate in their own destruction. They will leap at another chance to be friends. As soon as their guard is down, we shall smash them with our clenched fist. We are in a setup scenario, listeners. The people that monitor these broadcasts have to understand what they're a part of. The people in the militaries all over the globe have to realize what they're a part of, and what if they gave a war and nobody came? What a profound thought. A 20th century smokescreen of wars, more wars than any time in human history since the inception of the Federal Reserve System. More slaughter, more bloodshed, and anyone that's been in a war and been participating in a war, a shooting war, never wants to repeat it because it's pure hell. Think of the John Wayne movies of the Second World War. Think of the soldiers in Vietnam walking through the jungles thinking they were John Wayne. The indoctrination process of the television has been working very, very well. Turn the damn thing off and start researching on AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K. And God bless Dennis and Darren and all you others out there that are doing your best to make a difference. Good afternoon.